Because the combination of words and music speaks so deeply into us. Today we're continuing the series on healing. And we're looking at the story in Mark 5 of a man called Legion. It's the longest healing narrative in Mark's gospel, and for most of us, it will seem like a strange story of a man who is dangerous, who's inflicted, possessed by evil spirits, and we see Jesus performing an exorcism to free him and restore him. It will seem foreign to us. But let's read it and enter into the story and hear the Lord speaking his word to each one of us according to our needs. Mark 5, starting at verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herds, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. We live in a wounded and broken world. If you need to be convinced, watch the news. The other reality is that there are moments in which we realize that we are wounded and broken people. We are affected by evil. Evil operates at two levels: macro evil, micro evil, social evils, personal sin. We're much more familiar with personal sin, perhaps, because we struggle with it. It's easy to tell a lie. It's easy to be egotistical, put yourself before others. Some of us struggle with addictive patterns of behavior. For some, an angry or a cross word comes out so easily. We know about personal evil. Macro evil is evil on a larger scale. Sometimes we see clearly that evil is more than personal. At age 69, I've had some opportunities to see macro evils. I remember being in Bolivia when Garcia Mesa took over the country. We lived with a military curfew for over a month, 6 o'clock at night to 6 o'clock in the morning. If you're on the street, you were arrested. And people started to disappear. One of the disappeared was Pepe Caballero, president of the Bolivian Baptist Union, a guy my age. He'd been a journalist, and Pepe, on his nightly TV show, had warned the military to stay out of trying to run the country. And so he was seen as a threat. I've seen macro evil standing in front of a wall in El Salvador that has over 75,000 names written on it. Names of people who were killed or disappeared, mostly by the government of the military of El Salvador, the government forces during the Civil War. Closer to home, I've traveled with Regine to Atlanta, my wife to Atlanta, Georgia, for a Baptist leaders conference. My wife, Regine, is African Canadian. We didn't know where to sit because the African Americans were in one section, the Caucasians were in another section. I can't remember where other groups fit in, but it was clear that there were racial divisions. And where does a mixed race couple fit in? I felt evil in my own country. I had a friend I worked with at the Immigration and Refugee Board for 5 years. His name was Stephen Point. He went on to become the first indigenous lieutenant governor of British Columbia. At that time, Steve was a lawyer working for the Department of Immigration. And in 5 years of friendship, I learned about what Indigenous people in Canada had suffered. And the suffering of Steve's own family. And the time that his son attempted suicide because in Chilliwack, BC, when he entered secondary school, his Caucasian friends said to him, "Our parents told us it was okay to have an Indian as a friend in elementary school, but not in high school." These are social evils. And they can be overwhelming. 1999, I was at a church on my first trip to Rwanda. I went into church in a place called Nadarama. Beautiful countryside, a large church compound of the Catholic Church, which was no longer used. In 94, 5 years earlier, genocidaires had come and bust. Tutsi people had run to the church compound. Local people with machetes joined the genocidaires. They made a ring around the church. And then they started killing. When it came to the people in the church sanctuary, in the chapel or building, the genocidaires climbed on the roof of the church, shot down through the tin roof. threw hand grenades through the open windows, and then went in with machetes and finished the job. They referred to it as work. And you wonder, how can human beings do this to each other? That's evil at the macro level. And it's made up of a lot of decisions that people make at the micro level. So we come to this story of Legion. Legion reminds me of what Romeo Dallaire, who had been commander of the UN forces in Rwanda, and came back, as many of you will remember, such a broken and wounded man to Canada. General Dallaire said, "We know what to do with soldiers who have wounds in their bodies. We don't know what to make of a soldier whose wounds are inside, unseen." And isn't this the story of Legion? Legion is a man who's robust in health, strong, vigorous, but deeply wounded, possessed by evil on the inside. The sermon notes have got five observations on evil. I don't want to spend time here except maybe on the first and the last. The first is that we are to take evil seriously but not be obsessed by evil. There are Bible verses that show us that we are protected and held by God's hand, not to fear evil. We're to overcome evil. The last point I wanted to make in the five observations was that the scriptures talk about Satan, the devil, demons, evil spirits. And you got a choice here. You can take those literally, although you're not going to depict Satan as somebody with a tail and funny ears. Or you can take it figuratively. What you can't do is not take evil seriously. St. Paul spoke about principalities and powers at work in the world. And some of those were principalities and powers that you could see working within the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire wasn't always about simply about aqueducts and nice roads and good buildings. Roman Empire was about slavery. It was about crucifixion. It was about feeding Christians to lions. So principalities and powers could be seen, but there were also unseen forces of evil that were part of the principalities and powers. And in the sermon notes, I've got placed that verse of Paul that you may be familiar with. "For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh." In other words, just human factors. "But against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." The battle against evil is not just human. There's forces of evil that we have to address. We have to realize are part of the battle. So now we come to the story of Legion, and I ask you to listen for the word of God for you. What's God saying to you through this passage that may seem somewhat strange and obscure? And we're going to look at the community, we're going to look at the person, and we're going to look at the story from the perspective of Jesus. From the perspective of the community, the Decapolis was an area of 10 Gentile cities. Now, this point is important because Jesus has left the territory of the Jewish people. He is now a foreigner. He's now a stranger. He's no longer welcome. He doesn't fit in. And when he goes back to Galilee, people, Jewish leaders, will consider him to be impure simply because of his contact with the people of the Decapolis. The people of this region were the survivors of 3 centuries of sustained violence and repression. And colonialism, as we know, destroys the social fabric of people, destroys individual lives and communities. 3 centuries of violence, starting with Alexander the Great, then the empire of the Ptolemies, later the armies of the Seleucids, enforcing the worship of Greek gods and the adoption of Greek culture. Then Alexander Janus and the Hasmonean Empire. Then came the Nabatean conquest from Arabia. And finally arrived the Roman legions under Pompey. And they redated local history starting at year one, the year that they arrived. Nothing mattered before they came. They conquered, they enforced the worship of the emperor. Every time in the 3 centuries the foreign armies attacked, the defenses of villages and cities were overwhelmed, houses were burned, crops were taken, land was lost, taxes and tributes were imposed. An interesting feature of this gospel story is the military vocabulary that intrudes into the narrative. Legion, the name of the man, represented 6,000 armed troops of Rome, plus men on horseback. The pigs are described as a herd, but although I'm not never been an animal farmer, I grew up in an orchard, I understand that pigs don't actually herd. But that word that's used as herd could also be used for a battalion or a troop of Roman soldiers. And when the pigs race into the lake, the same verb could be used for the charge of Roman soldiers. So it gives this military flavor to the narrative. From the perspective of the communities, Legion is one of theirs. He's one of their guys. He had a mother and a father that people knew. He probably had brothers and sisters in the communities. The communities knew the story behind the story of Legion that we don't know. But somehow this man has been overwhelmed and overcome by evil. Did it have something to do with the horrors that he had witnessed in the Decapolis? Had he participated with Roman legions on the Eastern Front? We don't know, but we do know that the Romans conscripted soldiers from the Decapolis, and a strong young man like Legion would be a prime candidate. What we do know is that the local people fear Legion, and they have tried to restrain him. They find ways to overcome him and tie him down with chains and fetters. They confine him to the tombs that are carved into the hillside. They can listen to him crying out day and night. The best that they can do is attempt to control evil. They don't even think of transforming evil. The striking thing that I'm sure caught you was the reaction of the communities after Jesus frees Legion from the evil spirits that are ruining his life. And now they transfer their fear from Legion to Jesus. And they beg Jesus to leave the area. That request at first may seem puzzling, but I think we're left wondering, why is it that they are more comfortable with a demonized man than they can only partially control, than with Jesus, who they have no control over? and who has the power to redeem, to restore, to give new life to a troubled man. And I've had to ask myself, to what extent am I like the villagers? Has the power of evil affected us socially so much that we fear righteousness? We fear absolute goodness, absolute love, absolute justice and peace. Do we fear even the people that we might become if God was to transform us? Now I want to look at the story from the perspective of Legion. Legion is such a complex man at war within himself. He cuts himself with rocks. He screams in agony. At times in the passage, we hear the authentic voice of Legion speaking. At other times, the evil spirits are speaking through him. He throws himself at the feet of Jesus, pleading for healing. And yet the spirits within him resist healing. Are you here to torture me? Dale has been working with 8 dimensions of health. And he described them in earlier sermons using the biblical word shalom, which means well-being, which means wholeness. And you can see the 8 dimensions of health in the sermon outline, and you can judge Legion using the diagram. Biomedical, I think he's okay. There's a lot of other issues he's dealing with. His life is tragic. I discussed the Legion story a few weeks ago with Cheryl Bear, who's an indigenous Christian theologian from Canada. And she helped me to see the painful issue of the loss of community for Legion. Legion needed the community to help him and to support him, but they're afraid of him, and they push him to the margins. And so he's deprived of the dignity of work, of family, of relationships, of meaningful participation in the life of his community. His mind and his emotions are wounded, and any relationship with God is just devastated by evil. He's absolutely alone, absolutely isolated. And so the exorcism that Jesus performs is the beginning of the healing process. I find the description of Jesus sitting, or of Legion, sitting at the face of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, to be absolutely compelling. It's like that song we sang, "It is well with my soul." There's Legion saying to Jesus, "It's well with my soul." To sit at the feet of a teacher was to assume the posture of a disciple receiving instruction. There's Legion. He's being taught by Jesus. And to be in your right mind, that was a description that Greek philosophers used of a person who exhibited self-control in all areas of life. Legion's been restored. So some people might ask, what about the pigs? Wasn't there a significant economic loss? And I guess the question comes back. What's more important? Pigs? Or a broken man who's healed? In the end, Legion becomes our brother. One of us who follows Jesus. In fact, we read the Legion would like to accompany Jesus as a disciple back to Galilee and Judea, but Jesus sends him back to his community where he can continue the healing process. Life as an itinerant disciple in a foreign land would not allow the healing to continue. But Legion is sent back to his communities with a purpose. And that purpose is to bear witness. He has a vocation. Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy and compassion he has shown you. And so it's remarkable. Legion becomes the first missionary to the Gentiles. First missionaries to non-Jewish people, which I suspect most of us are. He was the first evangelist to our people. How do you read the story from the perspective of Jesus? Well, let me ask you an intriguing question. Why did Jesus leave Galilee and cross the lake and go to a foreign land where he was an unwanted stranger? I don't think this was a little vacation break. The only apparent reason is that he goes there to heal and to restore Legion. Because healing of broken people is God's priority. It's the work of God's kingdom. From the perspective of the community, Legion was a dangerous man overcome by evil spirits. From the perspective of Jesus, Legion was a troubled man created in the image of God. God had a purpose and calling for Legion that no one else could see. But Jesus saw both his need and his potential. And Jesus took the initiative to move towards Legion because Legion would never have moved towards Jesus. And it makes us reflect that God has always taken the initiative to move towards us, to move towards you. Even in your most troubled moments, to assure you of his love, to restore you, to call you to be the person that he sees the potential for you to be. That's the main message of this gospel story. So you're invited to connect your personal story with the story of Legion and with the story of the communities of the Decapolis. I don't know how you came to church this morning. I mean, I presume many of you came by car, but how was your soul? How was your heart when you came? I suspect that some of us are struggling with evil. We may feel overcome by addictive behaviors or repeated patterns that are slowly destroying us and people around us. We may be deeply affected by past evils, perhaps even those from childhood, of violence, abuse, or other experiences that have taken something from us. We may have come here smiling on the outside in the foyer, but crying out for healing and redemption in our hearts. For others of us in the Westview community, perhaps our place of identity is more with the villagers, and we have to confess this morning that we have become cynical. We've taken on the attitude that evil can be restrained but not transformed. And as a result, we have become strangely at ease with the status quo and with the brokenness of the world, as if we can expect nothing else. We no longer embrace the call of God to be agents of his healing in a broken and wounded world. Well, I've been praying that God would speak to you to some way through the story of Legion this morning. And I hope that God is whispering into your heart something about the process of healing in your life, or about your vocation as a follower of Jesus in our community and in our world, or perhaps some combination of those two themes. And as Dale says at the end of the service, if you want to talk to somebody, there's elders that are here to pray with you. If you'd like a pastoral visit and prayer during the week, pastors of this church are here for you. At Westview, we'd like to be known as a community of healing, where broken people can find God's healing. We'd also like to be known as a community that bears witness to God's mercy and to God's healing in the world around us. May God be with you this week as you reflect on this story and integrate it into the story of your life. Peace be with you.